Hallelujah. I learned when I was very young that if you didn't know anything else to say, you just say Jesus. Amen. And we've come to know it as the Jesus chant around here, which is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, a lot of times in my days, I just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because sometimes I just need Jesus to move. Amen. Sometimes I just need the power of Jesus to manifest. Hallelujah. And I've been saying that name a lot here lately. How about you? Not that I don't always say that name. But the scripture says that at the name of Jesus. Amen. At the name of Jesus. That I believe that there's power in the name. That at the name of Jesus. When we speak the name of Jesus, we invoke power. He said, because at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess what? That he's Lord. He is Lord of all. Hallelujah. And so we believe that when we speak the name of Jesus, we're saying, Lord, you are Lord of all. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. There is no name higher than your name. There is no sickness higher than your name. There is no poverty higher than your name. Depression is not higher than your name. Suicide is not higher than your name. Illness is not higher than your name. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus. How many know there's a lot of people that need Jesus? Amen. There's a whole lot of people that need Jesus. And the scripture, I said earlier that, you know, the scripture tells us that sometimes we don't even know what we have need of when we pray. Amen. You ever had to just pray and it's just that, like, you just don't even know the words to pray? You know, sometimes we try to get eloquent and we try to get formal and we try to think, you know, all of these great things. And we don't always know even what we have need of when we pray. But I love that the scripture says, but the Spirit of God. But the Spirit makes groanings and utterings that cannot even be uttered, that it prays and intercedes for me. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. I found myself waking up a lot this week in the night. For whatever reason, when I wake up, I just start praying. Thank you, Jesus, that you're bringing healing. Thank you, Jesus, that you're bringing comfort. Thank you, Jesus, that the flu has got to go. It's got to fly. The flu's got to fly. Hallelujah. I'm ready for it to go. Can we say amen in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. But you know, I believe there's power in prayer. Amen. We talked about this the other Sunday. Last Sunday, we were privileged to have Pastor David Hughes with us. Did an awesome job. Really enjoyed having time of fellowship with Pastor David and his family. You know, but the Sunday before that, I started talking about heart condition. Amen. It's Valentine's Day month, you know, and it's National Heart Month. We do a lot of talking about the heart. And how we know the biggest problem probably with any of us, with our world, with our churches, whatever it is a heart problem, a heart condition. That if truly, if we get the heart right, I think everything else flows out of a right heart. Even a right mind flows out of a right heart. So you can know all of the, you can have a whole head full of knowledge, but if you don't have a heart to execute it, right? If you don't have a heart to enact it, like I can know what I'm supposed to do, but if I don't interact, if I don't activate what I know, it's just all head knowledge. But I don't want to have a head knowledge about Jesus. I want to have a personal relationship with him. I want to know, my dad would say that I want to know that I know that I know. Hallelujah. I want to know that I know that I know. Hallelujah. He was a man of faith, and he knew how to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for my heritage of growing up in the church and knowing the power of prayer. Amen. And the power of God in our life. And so, you know, I was thinking of that even in the opportunity we had over the week, last weekend, to go and pray over the Senate in our Capitol building. If you've not been to our Capitol, you owe it to yourself to go. Yeah. Beautiful building. Very beautiful building. We were privileged to get to have a special tour of the Supreme Court, the West Virginia Supreme Court building. We met the Chief Justice, and he talked about it, and I did not know that West Virginia Supreme Court building was be the last one that this designer, this architect was going to build. And when he got finished it, they said, we want you to build one more. And they asked him to build the Supreme Court of the United States. And so our United States Supreme Court is modeled after West Virginia. Can you say amen? Yay, West Virginia, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just think that's awesome. And, you know, as I began to pray over the Senate down there the other day, I said, you know, Lord, make West Virginia a beacon of light. Make them a city set on a hill. Hallelujah. Make them a city set on the hill. And, you know, I didn't go so much just because I got asked to pray over the Senate, but I did not know that we prayed over the Senate before we started. I didn't know that was a regular thing that happened. And when I found out it did, I said, yeah, I'm up for this one. Because we say a lot of things. Man, we need to do this. We need to do that. Man, if our country needs to get back to God. Well, if we're asked to participate, you might need to step up to the plate. You might need to step up to the plate, hallelujah, and pray over our leaders. You know, if we would spend less time criticizing and talking about all the bad that's wrong with our country and start talking about what's right with it. Hallelujah. Get involved. Yeah. And pray. You just told me you believed in the power of prayer to change lives, to change nations. Do you believe prayer can change nations? I believe it can. You know, the scripture said that Elijah prayed and the heavens were shut up for 3 years. And there was no rain. But then when he began to pray again and release the rain, I mean, you know, he sent the servant up to the hill and he said, go and look. And he went up and looked. He said, Master, I don't see anything. And you know what most of us do? We quit right there. I don't see anything happening. Why? Go again. He said, no, don't you stop going. You go again. And he sent him seven times. And he went again seven times. And on the seventh time, he said, well, I see something about the size of a man's hand. He said, then get yourself down. Prepare your chariot because you're about to see an abundance of rain. You know what happens? Sometimes we quit short of what God wants to do. And I'm not just talking about, you know, we got to pray that continual prayer. But the scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do I have any righteous folk in the house today? You need to raise your hand because you're not righteous in virtue of your own actions. You're righteous by virtue of his actions. By the cross of Jesus, he has made you righteous. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. And he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, then get down and prepare your chariot for the abundance of rain. How many know we must always look to the heavens and see the hand of God in the heavens and what he's doing in the heavens? And when you see what God's doing in the heavens, it takes the focus off of what's happening in the earth. And then we can say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. How many know Jesus prayed that prayer? I didn't make that one up. That's not even my words. He said, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earth. Yes. What? Even as it is in heaven. Let's make this earth a whole lot more like heaven. Let's bring heaven to earth. Let's quit talking about what's so wrong about our country and our nation. Let's start talking about what's right with it. You know what's right with it? We still have prayer over the Senate and over those leaders. And you know what I found out? They were most pleasant, lovely, wonderful folk who I believe have a heart for West Virginia. And those who may not, I say, Lord, change their heart. Amen? Lord, change their heart. Because I don't believe God opens doors and gives us place of authority or place of position for our own purpose, but for his purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. So we talked about, hallelujah. Go ahead. Yes, absolutely. I told Lynn, jump in anytime this morning. Help me out.
I was reading a little bit this week, and I was thinking while you were talking about prayer that, you know, God's original intention when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they came to the Mount Sinai, he said, I want to make a whole nation of priests out of you. I want to have personal relationship with every one of you. And I want to make a nation of priests. And I was thinking, you know, even before you said that, might have been what inspired me since I saw the thing on Facebook where you did, but down at the Senate. But God wanted a whole nation of priests, and they forfeited that relationship for a mediator system, and they said to God, or they said to Moses, we're afraid of him. You go talk to him, and you come back, and you tell us what he said. But God wanted them to be all a whole nation of priests, so they forfeited that. But in the new covenant, Jesus came to restore us back to that place, because Peter said, you are a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood. And part of the function of a priest is to offer up prayers and supplications. And sometimes we say things like, well, all we can do now is pray. Well, that's really kind of pitiful when you think about it. All we can do now. That ought to be the first thing you do. Because there is, you know, we need to restore our confidence in the fact that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you can pray effectual fervent prayers. I think we take for granted that people know how to pray. But it's really not a formula. It's really just talking to God like he's your father. And just have, you know, you build your own. It don't have to be fancy words. But what we need to realize is that we are priests in our homes, in our communities, in our nation. That God had chosen Israel to be the nation of priests to serve the rest of the nations of the earth. But in the new covenant, we're part of that. Because of the new covenant, we're part of the order of Melchizedek, which is another kind of a priesthood that's not like Levi. But it's based on better promises and better blood and all that. But we still, as a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, it is our job as believers, as the community of faith, to offer up prayers and supplication for our leaders. You know, even the ones you say, well, I think sometimes we're so full of hate about stuff, and you know, it could be touchy about, you know, when you talk about politics. But the thing of it is we need to pray for leaders regardless where our stand is at, until God would be intervening. I believe God has the power to speak to people in the White House. I believe he has the power to speak to people in the Senate. And I think that there are people there that want to hear from God. And, you know, and I think that, you know, I believe that the church, you know, as a whole, as we begin to move more towards an understanding that we are to be salt and light on the earth, that maybe it's not just about prayer, maybe it's about being a senator or being a president and some of that kind of stuff. But I believe our job is, we forget sometimes to pray for our leaders, to pray for our families, to pray for our children, to pray. So I don't know how to pray. Well, if you don't know how to pray, the scripture said you can pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will make intercession on our behalf. And so, you know, I just think sometimes when especially the Lord brings somebody to your mind, just immediately stop right then. Take that moment and pray. And say, well, you know, it's not just words that you're speaking into the air. You're releasing something into the heavens that brings heaven's attention to whatever's going on. And the scripture said he'll give his angels charge concerning you. So I think we're to be, you know, a whole nation of priests to pray, offer, not just ministers, not pastors. You know, I think, again, that's the mentality that's an old covenant mentality is, you talk to Lisa, let Lisa tell us. And that's good. I believe God speaks through his oracles. But also he wants to have personal relationship with everybody. You know, one of the times I was out at the golf course, one of the pros said to me, it's been a little while now, probably 2 years ago or better, but we hadn't had no rain for a little while. And he said to me, good to see you, preacher. He said, man, I thought maybe I'd get you to pray. You can talk to the boss, see if you can get us some rain. And I said, well, you know, maybe you didn't just need me to pray. I said, maybe God wants to talk to you too. He said, oh, I think you can get to him easier than me. I said, I think that he's probably more anxious to talk to you than you think he is. And that kind of touched the guy. Because, you know, we have this idea that God will hear him. You know, or God will hear her. But, you know, it's like I've said so many times, we think and we believe that if we say something bad or we said a bad word, boy, God wrote that down. He heard that and I'm in trouble. But we don't believe he can hear me when I pray. So we're more anxious to believe he heard me when I said something bad than he is to hear me when I said something right. So if he heard me when I said something bad, he's way more willing to hear me when I pray. And so I think people need to think that way and begin to realize that prayer is a very effectual thing in our arsenal of how we do business in the kingdom.
Amen. And what prayer does is bring you in alignment, bring your heart, your mind into alignment with what the word already says is true of you, what it says already says with what's done. It brings you into an atmosphere and a focus where your focus is on what God can do, not on what you can do. Amen. And I believe it releases power in the heavens, you know, like just what he said. And you know, if God lays somebody on your heart, chances are he wants you to pray for them. I was going down the road the other day. I needed to go down to Morgan's because the baby was sick and her husband's in Haiti on a missions trip and she's working. And so it's just a lot going on. And I was going down the road. And so I redeemed that time. It's about a 6-hour trip. So I listened to, I don't know how many Lynn CDs on the way. And Jeremy was one of them. And just different ones. You know, I listened to some praise and worship. And I just used that time for God to speak to me. You know, and just, you know, just to refill and to hear the word. And so the Lord laid, actually it was Caleb on my mind. And so I just sent him a text real quick. talk text and just said, had you on my mind, just want you to know I'm praying for you. And he sent back and he said, thank you, I had a rough night. A friend of mine had a really rough night. And so he said, I've been really in prayer with them and I needed to hear that you're praying for me. We just, you know, we think those things don't mean anything, or it's like maybe it's just a whim, or maybe, you know, but it means something to them to say, hey, God put me on somebody's mind today. Somebody's thinking about me. God is speaking on my behalf. Amen. So let me tell you, if the Lord ever puts me on your mind, you just go right ahead and say a prayer for me, because I'll take it, all right? I get texts quite a bit that says, we're praying for you, and you don't know how much I appreciate that. Amen. I'll take that. I receive that. Hallelujah. Would you?
He's not going to do it over and over and over and over. And he won't do what he's told you to do. So when we hear from God, we better listen, because God's telling us to do something. And he's given us the power to do it. And he wants us to move and do it. The only way that the world's going to see Jesus is through you and I and the people that, you know, are righteous and live a godly life, you know. People look at that. Yeah, they're looking more for mistakes than they are for your righteousness, but but we can fool them. We can live righteous all the time. Just go ahead and let your light shine.
Amen. Just go ahead and shine anyway. She said there's two things that God won't do, and that's what he's already done and what he's told you to do. Hallelujah. But we were talking about a heart condition and a condition of the heart. Psalms 51 and 10 says, create in me, what, a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. I love that scripture. That's one of my go-to scriptures. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. I got to tell you, I pray that prayer a lot. Lord, let me have a right spirit. Let me not function out of an old order or old covenant, Old Testament mindset. You know, an old order prophets, they called down fire from heaven. I mean, no, in the new covenant, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Hallelujah. But how many know, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. To restore unto me what? The joy of my salvation. Hallelujah.
In the new covenant, we have a clean heart. He has created in us a clean heart, and he has put his Holy Spirit in us as believers. And and in the new covenant, he will not take his Holy Spirit from us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. And so, you know, he was really praying about something that was yet coming for him, but for us it's a present reality.
And actually that prayer, I believe, is the prayer that David prays after his episode with Bathsheba. And really, he's praying. One of the things that I think is powerful there, he says, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Even in your, you know, if there was a wrath or a judgment. But how many know, even in David's failure, God still did not go back on his promise. Even though David had struggles, even though David had problems, God said, I'm going to establish your throne forever. I'm going to establish your throne forever. Hallelujah. And he even gave him a son named Solomon, who he gave wisdom. And I love that, because Solomon's prayer was, he said, Lord, that you would help me to govern, give me wisdom to govern this great people of yours. And he said, because you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for, you know, all of those things for yourself, you ask wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, and all of those things are going to follow because you ask for wisdom. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. We've been talking for several weeks about what things wise men do. Wisdom. Operating out of wisdom, not just head knowledge. I mean, we got a lot of head knowledge in the body of Christ. We know a lot of scriptures. We can quote the scriptures. We know the word. Now we know we need wisdom to execute that. We need wisdom to know how to even share the gospel. I mean, you got to meet people where they are. You got to meet people where they are. You got to find an avenue to connect, an avenue to minister. Because if it's more about your doctrine or your theology than it is about changing lives, then we've got some things backwards. we got some things out of order. If it's more about, you know, me, how many know it's not about building your kingdom, it's about the King. The focus being on Him. But in Luke 6:45, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're going to speak out of what's in your heart. Amen? And under pressure, you're probably going to reveal what's in your heart quicker than when everything's going well. Yeah. Amen? Under pressure is most of the time when we really find out what's in the heart. Hallelujah. And so we talked about the Good Samaritan. We talked about, you know, that whole story about loving your neighbor as yourself. You know that story. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you love your neighbor as yourself? I didn't even look up. You do? All your neighbors are related. That doesn't count. Mom says I do. All of her neighbors are her kids. That doesn't count. You know, we all want... Who is my brother? There you go. Jesus, who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? Yeah. Because, you know, the scripture says love your neighbor. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. How many know I don't think the second one can even possibly remotely happen without the first one? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and with everything that's within you to love the Lord. And one of the things I said before is my desire is to cause people to fall head over and heels in love with Jesus. Madly in love with Jesus. Because if you ever really fall head over heels madly in love with Jesus, I believe that everything else in the scriptures will fall in line. I believe it'll follow. I believe signs and wonders will follow. I believe the word will follow. I believe the desire will follow. I believe your giving will follow. I believe your service will follow. All of those things will follow, not because you're demanded, not because you're obligated, not because you have to, but because you're so head over heels in love. Hallelujah. How many know when you fell in love, you didn't have to have a set of rules or regulations that regimented how you were to respond, right? Right? You just start responding out of that love and out of that relationship. Amen? And you do that because your heart is towards that person. And you can't think of anything else, right? Well, somebody shake your head, huh? You're always on my mind. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Dan and I used to sit and talk on the phone for hours. We only lived 8 miles apart. We used to talk on the phone for hours. I don't know what we had to talk about or what we had to say, but now we can't stay up past 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. So then we would talk, you know, late into the night. But, hey, I'm in here thankful for young love. Hallelujah. We still talk for hours. We just only do it in 30-minute seconds at a time when we get time for it, right? But how many know that sometimes life just gets in the way of your fellowship time, of your talking time? He bought me a Valentine for Valentine's Day, and it was our life. I was like, what, did you write this card? Or, you know, and Hallmark just stole it from you or what? Because, you know, it's just all about how life happens, you know, all the things in our, and it seems like our relationships and love sometimes can get crowded out by just everything else. That it's not bad stuff, it's just stuff, right? You know, it's jobs and responsibilities and obligations. But how many know it's our love for the Father that keeps us connected and that keeps us functioning out of that, then when life gets crazy. I love the song that the girl sang this morning. Sometimes I just need to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. And I just need to feel the heartbeat of the Father. I just need to hear the heartbeat of God that beats for me, that love, that His love is so real. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. How many are thankful for the overwhelming peace of the Holy Spirit in your life? Man, I'm telling you, there is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a peace beyond what I've ever really known. And I can say several instances in my life lately, and I'm getting off of my track, but that's okay. But several instances in my life lately where I felt the supernatural, and I'm talking about supernatural peace of the Holy Ghost, all right? One of those times was when my dad passed, and it was in an accident, so it wasn't something we were expecting for, and it was tragic and all of that, and we went to the funeral home, and we went in to view him, and when we walked into the room, I'm telling you, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong in that room, and Eric walked up to the casket, he saluted him, my mom breaks out in the Holy Ghost, starts praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord fell in that room. Before we, supernatural peace, I'm telling you, it was like uncanny. And we went back to the piano, we start singing his song, Because He Lives. And I'm telling you, the 6'3" boys were crying, the Holy Ghost was in that room. And from that point on, God gave us supernatural peace. I can't explain it, but it was a supernatural peace. Another incident in time when I had to do a funeral just recently for a friend. And so I had been through the whole process with her. It had been a rough journey. And so watching her go through that, they were about to close the casket. They give the one last pass through. She's sobbing, having a rough time, having a breakdown. I'm trying to be strong for her because I'm going to preach the funeral here in a minute. And I know I'm one of those people. I'm the ugly crier. And like once you let it out, you don't get it back. It's like it just goes. And when that floodgate gets open, I start crying. It is not pretty. And it's, you know, like I'm done. I can't preach for my nose running and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so I'm seriously choking it back. And I'm in the back room and I'm trying to get myself together with her. And I sit down on the pew and I'm coming unglued. I'll just be honest. I'm like can't half breathe. And I'm like, Lord, you are going to. And I said, I need the big Holy Ghost today. Pastor B. Lamont said, you got to trust the big Holy Ghost. You know, there's times in your life where you think you trust. And then there's times in your life where you really got to trust. And I prayed and I said, Lord, I need the big Holy Ghost today. Because if you don't help me here, I don't know if I can get myself through this. And I'm telling you, it was like I felt the Lord pour a vial over my head. I literally felt it go from the top of me, go down over me. As the service started, and I felt it go down all the way to my feet, to the point I went, oh, there it is. That's it. That's what I've been waiting on. That's the big Holy Ghost. That's the power of His presence in your life. And I'm telling you, it's real that when we trust Him, hallelujah, because there's times in my own strength I am weak. But when I am weak, He is strong in me. And if you've ever had a weak moment, don't you worry about it. And don't you beat yourself up over it. You just say, today I need the big Holy Ghost to be alive in me. I need the presence of God to be real, to be alive, and to be strong in me today. Hallelujah. And so we begin to trust that presence. We begin to trust that presence. We realize it's not about me. It's not about what I can do or what about what I can say, but what God can do in us and through us. Hallelujah. Anybody in this room every day and ever had to cry out to God and say, God, I need you right here, right now. I need your presence to move in me. This is out of my control. It's beyond my reach. I cannot do it in myself, but I'm going to trust a higher power. I'm going to put my faith and confidence in Jesus. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And so I commit everything in my heart, in my mind, and in my life that causes me to settle for anything less than His best for me. Lord, I commit that to you today. Hallelujah. Can you raise your hand and say, Lord, I commit every concern, every circumstance, everything that is overwhelming or stresses me out or plays on my mind. Lord, I commit that because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. And let me tell you, I can think big, I can ask big, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all of that. Hallelujah. I refuse to preach a great big devil. I'm going to preach a great big God and a wee little defeated devil. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We spent way too much talking about the power of the enemy and the power of the devil. I'm going to just tell you about the power of my God. I'm going to preach a great big God and a wee little defeated devil. He has no authority in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to stand up, shake the dust off your feet and say, you know what? I'm too big for this. I'm too anointed for this. I've been telling people all week, you are anointed and appointed. You are not a grasshopper. You are a giant slayer. We know what the facts say, but I know what the truth is. And the truth says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. I know that the truth says by his stripes I'm healed. I know that the truth says I'm the head and not the tail. The truth says I'm a city set on the hill. The truth says I'm salt and I'm light. Hallelujah. That's what the truth says. The facts may say something else. My facts might say I have a weakness. The facts might say my kids aren't acting right. The facts might say my mama's sick. The facts might say the kids are sick. The facts might say there's something in our community going on that's causing people's lives to be challenged. But the truth is, by his stripes we're healed, that he's not given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I'm telling you, I speak that over this community. I speak that over my life. I speak that over my family. I speak that over every fear, every bit of discouragement, everything that comes against our mind. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you know why David was so effective over Goliath? Not because he was the biggest, he was the littlest. Not because he was the smartest, he was a shepherd. Not because he was the strongest, not because he was a soldier. You know what the difference was? He wasn't hanging out with the brethren who were hearing all the defeat from the giant. He wasn't hanging out with people who were speaking defeat and fear and talking about how big and how bad that giant was. He had hung out on the backside of the desert with some sheep looking at woolly lambs and writing songs like, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And yay. Somebody say yay this morning. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The scripture says, thou anointest my head with oil. I preached a series on this back some time ago, but how many know we got to anoint our head with oil so that everything that passed through my mind has to first pass through the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. You know, we see all these things today, no filter. Well, how many know that's your filter? That anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your head, that every thought, every mindset has to pass through the anointing over my head. And they anointed the head of the sheep so that they weren't tormented by nose flies. And the nose flies would get into their nose and get in their ears, and it would swarm them until they literally would throw themselves off of a cliff because of the things that aggravated them. How many know there's some things that have come to bug you today? And if you're not careful, they'll make you want to throw yourself off a cliff. But I'm here to tell you that David said, I'm going to anoint my head with oil. Hallelujah. My cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so that he got to the brethren carrying bread and wine, to the brethren who were standing up there hearing all the confession of Goliath and all the confession of the brethren, who literally said to them, David, you're too little. Go home. This is not your business. And David said, yeah, but who can defy the armies of the living God? Somebody going to have to fight this giant. I think I got it in me today. Hallelujah. I mean, no, it wasn't the size of David's stones that brought down Goliath. It was the size of his heart. It was the size of his faith. It was the size of his confidence. He could have had 14 stones in that bag. It wouldn't have mattered. He only needed one. It wasn't about the stone. It was about a mindset. It was about somebody who had hid themselves in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Hallelujah. If the brethren you're hanging out with have got you full of fear and defeat, you need to find a secret place. And I'm not just talking about church. I might be talking about your, I don't know, I'm not going to tell you who I'm talking about. I'm just going to tell you, if whoever you're hanging out with is confessing fear and defeat, maybe it's CNN, you need to punch that button. They got an on and off button on them things for a reason. Turn it off. Turn it off. And turn on something that will stir up the confession of your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be looking at stuff that causes fear. I see stuff come across Facebook. I don't even want to know that. Not putting that in my head. I don't want to know those things. How many know it's harder to get it out of there than it is to never put it in there? But if the brethren you're hanging out with or the crowd that you're with, you need to connect yourself with them folk who believe there's victory in Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. You need to connect yourself with some folk that say, I got the victory. Hallelujah. I got the victory. I'm not going to confess defeat. I'm not going to confess fear. Hallelujah. But I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. When the spies went to spy out the land and they faced giants, 10 come back and said, man, there's a land that flows with milk and honey. I mean, and they got tomatoes the size of frying pans, and they got, you know, cabbage heads the size of bushel baskets. That was what my dad used to say. He exaggerated that a little bit. He said, but there's giants in the land. And we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs. What you see and what you perceive yourself to be will limit what you can do. Hallelujah. And the other two said, no, not so. That is my land. It's a land that flows in milk and honey, and we're well able to take the land. Hallelujah. But how many know the multitude of people listened to the 10 and not the 2? And because they did, their promise was delayed. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to make a deposit before you can make a withdrawal. When I go to the bank and say, I'd like to take $10,000 out of my account, please. And they say, well, that would be great, ma'am, but you didn't put $10,000 in there. So have a nice day. Because I forgot to make a deposit in my account. You know, sometimes we take for granted even coming into the house and come to the assembly together. But here's the thing. I think every time we come together, God makes a deposit. God makes a deposit. And probably I could meet you at the door back there this morning and ask you what you heard this morning. And every one of you would have, maybe not everyone, but you'd have a different answer. Because how many know the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you where you are? And you're going to hear what the Spirit says for where you are right here, right now, today. Amen. Hallelujah, because the Spirit's going to make a deposit in your account, because there's going to be something either you've been already going through or something that you may be coming or may facing that's Holy Spirit's going to bring that back up out of your account. It's going to bring that to remembrance that's going to say, wait a minute, I know what the Word says, and I choose to believe what the Word says. I choose to trust the name of Jesus because there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. How many know most of the time the things that we're struggling with, they're a temporary, momentary thing, that if we can change our focus, change our attitude, change how we approach that, Amen? It'll get us through to the next stop when the big Holy Ghost overshadows you. Hallelujah. When the big old Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, she said, how can this thing be? How in the world could this work? How could this happen? He said, because it's going to be by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The scripture I wanted to get to today was the scripture where Peter is at the shore with Jesus. And I preach this a lot, so I don't want to labor this. But how many know Jesus comes to Peter on the shore, and he sits down with him. You know, they're fishing. It's not working. We can preach all of that. But basically, he hears the voice of Jesus. He comes to the shore. And all of the disciples are there, but Jesus looks at Peter, and he said, and I love this because he says, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Now, what's the issue with that? Does that throw up a flag to anybody? Well, he denied him. We know that Peter said, Lord, I got your back. I'll go with you. But he denied him, right? He was weak. He in a moment when he was challenged, anybody ever relate to Peter? Mm-hmm, sure. But what I like about this, Jesus calls him Simon. Wait a minute. You changed his name to Peter. Why are you calling him Simon? Simon, son of Jonah, he calls him. Now, he makes a reference to Jonah, and it could be that, you know, Simon, he was a little bit of a rebel. He was a little bit of, he didn't quite get the whole picture, kind of like Jonah did. But also, that reference means Simon, son of John, if you go back and look, because Peter was a disciple of John the Baptist. But how many know what? Jesus was about to transform Peter. Three times, Peter denies the Lord. You know that story. Three times, Jesus looks him in the eye and says, Peter, do you love me? He doesn't say Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Simon, son of John, you've been a disciple from John. You relate to Jonah. He said, but guess what's about to happen to you, Peter? You're about to experience the Holy Ghost. He called three times. He tells him, Simon, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. He meets with him. Peter's got questions. They're not sure how this is all going to play out. But I love this, that on the day of Pentecost, in an upper room, when the Holy Spirit comes through, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter stands up, and the scripture does not anymore call him Simon that I'm aware of. On the day of Pentecost, it stands up, and he said, and Peter, full of the Holy Ghost. Not Simon, son of Jonah, or Simon, son of John the Baptist, of that old order covenant, but now Peter, Petros, the rock, the solid one, full of the Holy Ghost, stands up and says, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit in all flesh. How many know that was the game changer? The Holy Spirit in your life is a game changer. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit in your life is a game changer. And so then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up, says, repent, men and brethren, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom and the new covenant because it's done by the Spirit. Under the old covenant in the Old Testament, when the law was given, 3,000 souls were slain at the foot of the mountain. But how many know under the new covenant, it's not about death, it's about life. It's about not what you can do. It's not about your ability. It's not about your name or who you used to be. But now on Peter, Petros, the rock, and upon this, I'm going to build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What? The big Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, Petros, the rock, stands up. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that the Holy Ghost in our life is a game changer. Amen. Hallelujah. That the Holy Ghost in our life is a game changer. It will lead, guide, and direct you into all truth in every area of your life. And I don't think Jesus ever questioned Peter's love for him. I think he questioned his heart condition, a condition of his heart. I think Peter needed to hear himself say, Lord, you know that I love you, and my heart has always been towards you. Hallelujah. I mean, there's times when we have not held up our end of the bargain. Now, how many are glad it's a one-sided covenant written in blood, dipped in his blood, sealed with his blood? Hallelujah. That even when I am weak, even when I cannot hold up my end of the bargain, he can, and he is strong in me. Hallelujah. What's the difference? What's the game changer? The power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. A heart condition. Let our heart ever be before him and our focus be on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever we face in our life, the big Holy Ghost is able. Amen. Is able. How many can raise your hand this morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for every time, Lord, that you've transformed me out of the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. Hallelujah, that you've come through for me, that you've given me direction, insight. Hallelujah, provision, healing. Hallelujah. So let's just lift our hands over this building as she sings, and let's just thank him today for what he's already done, what he's already started, what all he's already provided. Hallelujah. For us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, if you'd like to receive him, come on down. We'd be glad to pray over you. Hallelujah. For salvation, whatever it is your need, Holy Ghost, healing, whatever, just receive it right where you're at. You can come to the altar, you can receive it right where you're at. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.